Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Leonardton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine, Broadcast, and Global Communities, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to find immediate impact. And today I'm so thrilled because I have with me Barbara E. Hetzel. Barbara is the owner and founder of Ridgetop Coaching, a life and leadership coaching firm that engages leaders and teams in developing and expanding their gifts and talents for the world. Asian accomplished professional in the field of training and organizational development, she has spent over 25 years of experience helping others discover and embracing their true calling. And I'm so thrilled to have you with me today, Barbara, because we've talked about this before, and we really share this area of such importance from the standpoint of our own life experience and our own purpose and calling in really getting people together and in touch with their purpose and how that works within large organizations. So welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Vicki, and I'm really thrilled to be able to have this opportunity to chat with you today, and I'm looking forward to enjoying our conversation together.
I am too, and I'm so thrilled that you have consented to be with us in Ready, Aim, Influence, a book where we're going to be featuring not only yourself and other experts such as Carlos Slim, the richest man in the world, and, you know, sharing all of the secrets and the passion that really drove you to your purpose. And I think I'd like to start there, if we could. Tell me a little bit about how you came to this place of influence in life.
Well, I think sometimes influence comes through trial and error. But when I say that out loud, it kind of seems like, well, that's really kind of just what it looks like on the surface. I think influence comes from being true to the core of who you are, and that sense of self is really what is the natural, what I think is like a natural aspect of influence. And when you're true to yourself, your influence comes through effortlessly. I also have this sense and this feeling that I'm sure I'm not unique in this, but sometimes when you're involved in something, you're involved in a project, and you're in the zone about it. And that's when you really know that you're standing in your own sense of integrity about who you are and what gifts you are offering or talents you're offering to the project and then eventually to whoever is touched by that project. That's when influence is just a piece, you know, part and parcel of whatever it is that you're doing. It's inseparable. You can't separate it out. It's just, that's what it is. That's where your influence comes from.
That is so fantastic. So tell me a little bit about how you got here. Like, what drove you to this whole arena of working with leaders and working with teams to really, again, expand their gifts and develop their talents for not only the good of organizations, but for the good of the world?
I think that I've always had an interest in leadership. I was always very curious about leaders and who became leaders and why did they become leaders. From a young age, I can remember being, you know, the leader or the president of my neighborhood when I was a kid, you know, and so that whole idea of leadership and holding an office, you know, if you will, was very, very present for who I was and kind of how I thought. And I began to understand as I grew up, like other people, that there are good leaders and there's bad leaders, but that there is a way that you can identify as a leader without having a title. And I think that's one of the things that really has driven me in all of my studies and in all of my efforts to bring leadership to people and out of people, that there's this concept or this conception that only if you have a title are you a leader. And I like to do a lot of my work is to help to kind of break that down a little bit so that people can really see that everyone has a leadership ability inside of them. Everyone can be a leader. It may be at work, it may be at home, it may be in the midst of a volunteer activity, it may be just in their own meditation and reflection that, you know, has an impact out to the world. When I was in, I have a short little story here, when I was in college, I was running for an office on campus, and I really was convinced that, certainly convinced that I was the best candidate for the office, and certainly convinced that I was going to win it, and I didn't. And that, I think, was a defining piece for me, where it really solidified in my mind and in my thinking that I can still be a leader without having this title. And that point in my life has driven me ever since.
And, you know, that's such an important point, because we came out with a book early last year, Ready and Excel, and it was about personal and professional leadership. And what really awoken to me during the interviews for that book was how many different ways we have to lead, you know, in our communities and in our families and, you know, in our church organizations. And it just goes on and on and on. And the impact that we have in those ways is so incredible. So I really want to congratulate you on making people aware of the many ways in which they lead that they may not even be aware of that are changing lives every day. It's an incredible contribution to the world. It really is, Barbara.
Absolutely. And I think once people recognize that and kind of claim it for themselves, that's when they really can begin to have the influence out, you know, outside in whatever their spheres are, you know, whatever their spheres of contact, whatever their spheres of influence are. Once you recognize that you have a contribution to make and that you can lead something in the midst of all of those things, that's where influence really then starts to come to the surface and great things can happen.
Well, you know, with that in mind, what do you think are the key skills that are really required for business to thrive in today's world?
I think there's a couple of things that are key to businesses, and they're going to sound like they're not business kinds of words. But the things that come to mind when I think about business, and certainly the businesses that I've worked in and have, you know, done some, you know, workshops or some engagement with, is I find that the most important things are integrity, and I've talked about this, not just personal integrity, but integrity of the business itself, that they're not in existence to get one over on somebody, but they're in existence because they really have a mission and a purpose and a value in whatever their product or their service is, and they want to bring that out. I think transparency. Say who you are and be who you are, and don't try to be something other than that. Communication can never be overemphasized. You know, as long as you are honest and you are effective in your communication, then I think that you can't, you know, businesses can't go wrong, you know, and if something does go wrong, communicate about it. Something goes right, clearly communicate about that. Send that out to the world. Let people know what your success stories are. I also want to say, for me, I think a key piece is understanding that businesses, there's a piece of businesses, I believe, that they exist for a sense of service. And although a lot of times people will say, well, businesses are in existence to make money, yes, absolutely. You know, otherwise, why would you be in business? Yes, you're going to make money, and that's great. But there's also a sense that you bring something of value to your consumers, to your clients, to your constituents, to your shareholders, whoever it is that they're going to benefit by what you're doing, and that's a sense of service. And I think the last thing, too, is to be aware of the big picture and the small picture at the same time. I think that it's important to be able to think big and think globally and think in broad terms, but I also think it's critically important to be able to bring that down to the point of, like, well, what does that mean for us today? What do we need to do today in order to realize or to move toward that bigger dream or that bigger picture, that bigger innovation? So those are the things that come to my mind when I think about the key skills for businesses today.
Yeah, and, you know, really all of what you're saying is extremely collaborative in nature, whether it be global or it be within yourself and your really close unit of people around you or your whole entire corporation or community. So tell me a little bit about what you think about collaborations and how important they may be to success.
Oh, I think first of all, I think collaboration is huge. You know, and I'm an extrovert, so I love groups and I love teams. You know, I love talking to people and interacting with people. I really do believe in the adage that, you know, there's the wisdom of the group, and that, you know, any one person can come up with a great idea and have the skills and the talent to implement it and put it forward. But there's so much more power and energy and creativity when you collaborate on something than if you're just going to do it with your, you know, by yourself. I think that there's an opportunity for someone to get a new idea, have a new idea sparked just because you're having a conversation and you're collaborating with other people. I think collaboration is a huge benefit and a huge must-have for businesses today.
So in your position, since you consult to leaders and teams and so forth, how have you seen this change, if at all, over the last few years? You know, technology's kicked in. You know, we've had so many changes, economical changes, a lot of changes in our business climate. What does that look like now compared to how it was a while back?
Well, certainly, I think if you're reading the newspapers or articles on the internet or whatever, I see a lot of information about almost like the rise of the individual. You know, that it's just about, you know, individual people, and certainly we've heard a lot in the past year and a half about, you know, the 1%. And so there's this great big dichotomy between the haves and the have-nots, and I think it's between the individuals and the groups. And I think that there's an energy that can really exist that can be much more that's contagious when groups come together rather than just the individual, because I think it really does bring out the best in people. I can be very, you know, I can be very autonomous and I can be very self-sufficient, and I'm not saying that those are bad things. But I lose something if I'm not engaged and I'm not trying to be part of a larger community rather than just part of my own self community. And that could be the community of my family. That could be the community of, you know, the municipality that I live in, you know, the state, if I want to be active in the political arena. It could be my church community. It could be just the community of an extended family. I'm always a better person. I'm always a more compassionate person when I'm involved with other people. I think that when we look at things today compared to even like say 10 years ago, I really do hope that there is this drive toward valuing the collaboration piece rather than the competition piece, and letting that be the thing that sustains, you know, the world, so that, you know, everybody can have, you know, the life that they want, the life that they're choosing, without feeling like that there's this great big emphasis on self-sufficiency and individualism.
Oh, I think that is so important, and, you know, such a beautiful vision. So what do you think are keys that you found for yourself as well as the clients that you consult to in attracting and really maintaining great collaborations, great partnerships, you know, great joint ventures? What, if you were to name two or three things that really need to be there, what would they be?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind, Vicki, is mutual respect. And that doesn't mean that, you know, there's not going to be differences of opinion. I expect and I kind of would want differences of opinion, because, you know, how miserable would we all be if we all thought alike? You know, so I think that I'm looking for a way that we can, you know, everybody can have a conversation, can agree to disagree, but at the end of the day, there's still a respect there for someone's perspective or someone's outlook on whatever the topic at hand is. I also think honesty. I think if a partnership or a collaboration is going to work and work really well, there has to be, I think there has to be some ground rules of, you know, we're going to be honest with each other here. And, you know, honesty doesn't mean you have to, you know, beat somebody over the head with, you know, raw facts about something. But something, but you need to speak your mind, you need to speak your heart. You need to know, and you need to let people know where you stand and why you stand there. And so I think honesty is a really key factor in maintaining great partnerships. I also think that if there can be an attitude is of we all win always, I think that that perspective, that level of consciousness in partnerships can create some incredible services or products or programs for people.
I really love that, you know, because I personally really treasure that win-win philosophy. To me, if that's not there, you know, it's not a partnership or a project of fulfillment for me. So I'm so glad you brought that up because I think that that's so, so important. So, you know, all of the things you mentioned are really also important in finding and retaining a really great team. But how do you do that with a stellar team? What are some of the ingredients that need to be there when you're really evaluating your team and then you've got a great team in place and you want to keep them there?
That's a great question. Several things, you know, come to my mind. I think one is to always leave room for opportunity and creativity. That even though a team is together and it's really kind of, you know, humming along well, that there's always going to be room for opportunity and creativity. That, you know, at some point there's going to be an innovation is going to be needed or a shift is going to happen. And as long as there's opportunity and room for that creativity and for that innovation, then I think that the team will continue to grow and not just stay static. I think another piece that I'm thinking of for how to keep a stellar team going is to really give everybody a turn to drive the bus. That this rotation of leadership or this rotation of emerging leaders, to allow people's natural talents to bubble to the surface so that when that talent is or that perspective is needed the most, let that person take control, take the reins, and not worry so much about who is the leader for all time. Let the talent that's needed at the time rise from the person that has it the most and let them drive the bus, let them lead it, because I think that keeps the teams active and keeps them energized. And I think lastly, I might say something like have a common vision and mission so that you really do know, even in the midst of differences, that you really are all in it together, and make sure that everybody has a buy-in to that vision and that mission. Because if you don't know what you're about, a team or a partnership can fall apart pretty quickly. But if you have an understanding and you revisit that vision and that mission, hey, remember what we're about here? You know, if somebody needs to, you know, have a little reminder, then make sure that is present too, because I think that there's going to be opportunities that will arise from that different way sometime of looking at your mission or your vision and saying, yes, this is something we really want to stretch into, and it fits with who we are and who we say we are. So let's take a chance and let's see where it goes.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I just love that idea of everyone having a position of expressing their own individual creativity while actually contributing to the group as being so important. I know from my own personal fulfillment and, you know, most of the people that have been very dear to me within our network and again, our organization, I found that to be absolutely true. So thanks so much for sharing that, Barbara. So, so important. you know, you are doing so many fabulous things, and I'd love to hear what your big picture vision for what you're doing might look like. If you were to look at how it might impact the world, almost like a legacy for you.
But I kind of chuckle when I hear you say that, because I have this little voice in my head saying, you know, well, if I ruled the world, this is what it would look like, you know. But I think there's something to be said for that, because I think, you know, having a big understanding and a big picture vision is so important to me, because I'm a big picture kind of thinker, and so I like the idea of just even being able to, you know, to play around with that a little bit. I think any time that I can accompany an individual or a group or a company or a corporation, however big it is, on their journey toward what they identify as being an integrated life or an integrated direction, an integrated strategy for whatever the outcome is that they've identified, any time that I can be part of that, I think the impact on the world is immeasurable. I think just making a conscious choice that we as a group that I might be working with, or a company, is saying this is so important to us. This sense of having an integrated vision, an integrated product, an integrated development, program, service, that's going to unleash a tremendous amount of energy into the world. And you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, how can you even quantify that kind of energy, you know? And so the work that I do as a coach gives me an incredible privilege to reach into people's lives as I'm invited, and to help someone to transform their thinking so that they can shift something in their minds, so that they can take a different kind of action, so that they can live or connect more with what's really truly important to them, and or most important to that team, or most important to that company. And I think that kind of connection, that way of being, that way of walking in the world, that way of doing business in the world, can only help to serve and influence others around them. So if one company is doing it, believe me, other companies are watching to seeing what their competitors are doing. And how wonderful would it be for an organization to really start to say, this is what we're about. We're about integrating everything about our employees, about our business practices, and having somebody from the outside look at that and say, wow, I want some of that, because it's so powerful.
Wow, it's really like those ripples from throwing a pebble into the water, isn't it? And just watching that go out to the masses. It's so, so powerful. So if you would have a brief tip or exercise or something you use for yourself or with your clients to move us into immediate action, to really become clear, you know, effective leaders in whatever our role is out there in the world, what would that look like? Can you share something with us around that?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I have a lot of little exercises that I ask people to do. One of the ones that comes to my mind is sometimes I ask people to take just a sheet of paper and to make three columns on it. And in the first column, I ask them to write down all the things that they're most proud of in their life. If I'm working with an individual client, if I'm working with team members in the context of a company or organization, I ask them what they're most proud of in their contribution to their department, to their organization. So it would shift depending on the context that I'm in. And then in the second call, and it could be something very specific. It could be things like, you know, I brought in $3 million in sales, or it could be, you know, I got my college degree. You know, so it could be very specific, you know, or it could be something that might be more broad, like I've been volunteering with, you know, at the local hospital for, you know, the past 15 years. So whatever somebody has, you know, has identified, the things that they have some pride in, I ask them to put that in the first column. And then in the second column, I asked them to say, why are they proud of that accomplishment? Like, what did it do for them? You know, did it make them happy? Did it get them some kind of monetary reward? Did they just get a good feeling about it? Would they be, you know, they found that they became a better person from it? You know, whatever it is that they can identify. So what are you most proud of in the first column? Second column is why. Why are you proud? Why are you proud of that particular accomplishment? And in the last column, I ask them to write down how that accomplishment changed their life. And I think that that's the key piece with the action piece that you talked about, is that when you know that something that you have done has changed your life, you've bothered to reflect on it. And sometimes this exercise is this third column is difficult for people because they don't give themselves enough time and space to reflect. And so it gives them an opportunity and permission to say, wow, you know, yes, when I did, you know, when I spent those 15 years, you know, volunteering in the hospital, I changed lives of, you know, I can, you know, recall, the, you know, the family that, you know, had the sick child, and I did X, Y, and Z, and I know I changed their lives. And so that opportunity to reflect and to say that your actions, the actions that you take, and generally they're actions that you take around the things that you're proud of, are really things that change the world. They change you, without a doubt. They change you as an individual, but then they also change the people that you have touched and how you've interacted with in the midst of whatever the action is that you were taking. And I think those things are it really important. So I ask people to take to so that's an exercise that I use is with the three columns to get people to know and to begin to understand that even one person has the power and has the ability to change the world.
Wow, that is so powerful. So powerful. Thank you, Barbara, so much for sharing that and sharing all your wisdom that you did with us today. This has been such a learning experience for me and I'm sure for everyone listening. If those listening would like to tap into more information about you and connect with you, do you have a place on the web where they can do that?
I sure do. I have a website. It's www.ridgetopcoaching. That's RIDGETOP coaching.com. And there's also, you can reach me through a contact form that's on my website. And also you can email me at info@ridgetopcoaching.com. I also have a Facebook page, Ridge Top Coaching. And I'm also on LinkedIn, Ridge Top Coaching.
Fabulous.
So any one of those options would work.
Okay, great. And Barbara, just give your website one more time so that people really have it so they can connect.
Sure, absolutely. It's www.ridgetopcoaching. That's R as in Robert, I, D as in dog, G as in girl, E, T as in Tom, O, P as in pop, coaching.com.
Fabulous. Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today. It's just been such a joy to spend time with you. And thank you so much for sharing all of this great inspirational information and wisdom. And for those out there who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, you can find us at getei.com. That's getei.com to discover more about our books, magazines, global communities, as well as our broadcasts. And again, Barbara, thank you so much for the generosity of your time and information. It's been phenomenal.
My pleasure, Vicki. Thank you so much for having the conversation today.
And everyone out there, have a wonderful week.